This is a replay of New World Notes number 73 from July 2009, The Art of the Rent. The story starts when an old friend looked at the show's website and advised me that ADHD is treatable.
Ouch! ADHD? Wasn't that a great old heavy metal band? For those about to rock, we salute you. Let's Get It Up and other enduring light classics. ADHD? Maybe she was reacting to that rant I included in my blog essay discussing George Galloway. I forgot to warn her that it was 20% tongue-in-cheek. 80% entirely sincere, to be sure, but 20% tongue-in-cheek. So today we present The Art of the Rant. First, a quick overview. What is a rant? It's a tirade, a jeremiad. First, it is a composition of words. Second, there's anger behind it. Third, usually in any case, the words are true. If the listener is offended, that's probably because the listener recognizes that it's true, or mostly true, and the listener doesn't want to admit those truths. Fourth, it's impolite, impolitic. Well-bred people don't say things like that in public, even if it is true. So a rant is a longer and maybe more intentional version of a gaffe. A gaffe also is true. Would you like to go to the prom with me? Nah, you're too fat. That reply is a gaffe. Extend it to 300 words on how the best way to reduce global warming would be to bayonet every fat person, toss their bodies into an abandoned coal mine, and seal off the entrance, and you've got a decent rant. Two more quick ones. Number 5. The rant makes connections among a number of events that others like to imagine are unrelated. We'll hear George Carlin explaining the causes of the Gulf War, now known as the First Gulf War. To Carlin, the war had nothing to do with Kuwait. Instead, Carlin connects America's deindustrialization, racism, and desire to be ruler of the world, plus George Herbert Walker Bush's wimpy last name and his unhappy anatomical underendowment below the waist. Finally, for now, no matter what initially touched off the rant, the content of the rant is of public significance. Mr. Jensen chewing out homespun TV commentator Howard Beale for stopping a business merger is nominally a private dressing down. But Beale is fictional, and the rant, composed by the great screenwriter Paddy Chayefsky, is really for our ears on a matter of concern to all of us, on who or what really rules the world. We can see the truth of this rant far more clearly now than we could in 1976, when the movie Network was first released. That's why Chayefsky is a genius, and I'm not, and you can speak for yourself. Let's start with Jensen's rant, spoken by the actor Ned Beatty, then two rants by Howard Beale, supposedly on TV, spoken by Peter Finch. Then on to a totally non-fictional rant, also touching on the Middle East, from a video produced by a little-known commentator who goes by the name of Tenebrewski.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, Mr. Beale, and I won't have it! Is that clear? You think you merely stopped a business deal? That is not the case. The Arabs have taken billions of dollars out of this country, and now they must put it back! It is ebb and flow, tidal gravity, it is ecological balance. You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, rims, rubles, pounds, and shekels. It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet. That is the natural order of things today. That is the atomic and subatomic and galactic structure of things today. And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone. Am I getting through to you, Mr. Beale?
Edward George Ruddy died today. Edward George Ruddy was the chairman of the board of the Union Broadcasting Systems, and he died at 11 o'clock this morning of a heart condition, and woe is us. We're in a lot of trouble.
So, a rich little man with white hair died. What has that got to do with the price of rice, right? And why is that woe to us? Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel. The ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what will be peddled for truth on this network. So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Take two, Q Howard.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. Damn it. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Coming to you from a basement somewhere in Pennsylvania, it's Tenebrewski with The Stench of Truth.
So what is it that Obama is doing? He is doing what he does best, and that is talk. He speaks. He speaks well when he has a teleprompter that doesn't malfunction. He speaks very well. And some very few will make really wonderful comments about how great the wonderful Messiah was in his speech to the Islamic world, and how this shows a future of promise and hope. No, it doesn't. Doesn't show any f***ing future. Nothing is going to change. Let's get one thing clear right off the bat, and that is we, the United States government, the secret agencies in this government, created Islamic terrorism. We funded it. We helped it to grow. We established it. If we're fighting it now, it's only for our own twisted purposes, whatever they happen to be. Make no mistake, nothing that is going on, nothing in the way of relationship between us and Islamic countries, is an accident of chance or because of crazy terrorists doing their thing. Our intelligence agencies have been behind this since the very beginning. We created the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. We created Al-Qaeda. We created every single group, practically. So until we quit meddling everywhere in the world, and until we finally get to the point and say, Israel, we're not supporting you on this one thing, then no one is going to have any credibility towards the United States. And that's not going to change. And it's all planned. This is all a big, glamorous show so Obama can put on the flair that he's so famous for. And all it will mean is a big, fat nothing, because nothing is meant to change. It's going to stay the same, and it's going to continue on down the years until they have their final denouement, which will be the New World Order. And in closing, let me just say this. I heard in the news today that they're talking about Al-Qaeda being funded by heroin. What an amazing thing to say. It's so atrocious that the terrible Al-Qaeda and terrorist groups are being funded by heroin, that horrible drug out of Afghanistan. Well, let's see. When the Taliban were in power in Afghanistan, they virtually eliminated poppy production. As soon as we went in, poppy production spiked and has been growing and is probably one of the greatest crops in the country and at its peak there in its history. Now, do you think that with the combined might of the United States military, they could end poppy production in Afghanistan, especially if the Taliban were virtually able to do it? The answer to that question is yes. Do you want to know why they don't? Because our covert agencies, our secret government behind the scenes, our CIA, all of our covert and black operations are funded by drugs. And the heroin, opium, poppy, everything else that's going on in Afghanistan is funding our own secret establishment. So it's not going to go away. And the fact that they put that in the news today made me want to retch, trying to tie the two together. And that's another reason why drugs will never be made legal, because there's too much money to be made for black operations by secret government agencies doing secret work, meddling in the affairs of every country in the world, and sullying the name of the United States even more. And finally, let me add one last little thing, and that is, do I give a whether any Islamic country thinks good of the United States? No. And I don't think anybody else should either. The first thing that we need to do is get our own together. Get this country back on a solid constitutional footing. Then, maybe, down the road, we can worry about what a country thinks about us. But we need to clean house here first. And if Obama had any sense whatsoever, he'd be in this country with his sleeves rolled up, trying to effect change, real change. And that means giving money to people, letting people handle their own bills, getting them out of debt, and doing something to help this economy. Something real. Thank you. Good night.
The Stench of Truth is brought to you by Tenet Brewsty. You can find him on YouTube.
Yeah. Okay. It's been a little while. It's been a little while since I've been here, and a couple of things have happened in that time. I'd like to talk a little bit about the war in the Persian Gulf. Big doings in the Persian Gulf. You know my favorite part of that war? It's the first war we ever had that was on every channel plus cable. And the war got good ratings too, didn't it? Got good ratings. Well, we like war. We like war. We're a warlike people. We like war because we're good at it. And you know why we're good at it? Because we get a lot of practice. This country's only 200 years old and already we've had 10 major wars. We average a major war every 20 years in this country, so we're good at it. And it's a good thing we are. We're not very good at anything else anymore. Huh? Can't build a decent car, can't make a TV set or a VCR worth a f***. Got no steel industry left, can't educate our young people, can't get health care to our old people, but we can bomb the s*** out of your country, all right. Especially if your country is full of brown people. Oh, we like that, don't we? That's our hobby. That's our new job in the world, bombing brown people. Iraq, Panama, Grenada, Libya, you got some brown people in your country, tell them to watch the f*** out or we'll goddamn bomb them. Well, when's the last white people you can remember that we bombed? Can you remember the last white? Can you remember any white people we've ever bombed? The Germans, those are the only ones, and that's only because they were trying to cut in on our action. They wanted to dominate the world. Bull. That's our job. Now we only bomb brown people. Not because they're trying to cut in on our action, just because they're brown. Now, you probably noticed I don't feel about that war the way we were told we were supposed to feel about that war, the way we were ordered and instructed by the United States government to feel about that war. You see, I tell you, my mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I don't just roll over when I'm told to. Sad to say, most Americans just roll over on command. Not me. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Nothing. Zero. Nope. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country, who in the case of the Persian Gulf War were nothing more than unpaid employees of the Department of Defense, and who most of the time function as kind of an unofficial public relations agency for the United States government. So I don't listen to them, I don't really believe in my country, and I gotta tell you folks, I don't get all choked up about yellow ribbons and American flags. I consider them to be symbols, and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded. Me, I look at war a little bit differently. To me, war is a lot of waving, okay? Simple thing, that's all it is. War is a whole lot of men standing out in a field waving their p*** at one another. Men are insecure about the size of their d***, and so they have to kill one another over the idea. That's what all that adolescent, macho, male posturing and strutting in bars and locker rooms is all about. So, in this particular case, Saddam Hussein had questioned the size of George Bush's d***. And George Bush had been called a wimp for so long. Wimp rhymes with limp. George has been called a wimp for so long that he has to act out his manhood fantasies by sending other people's children to die. Even the name Bush. Even the name Bush is related to the genitals without being the genitals. A Bush is a sort of passive secondary sex characteristic. Now, if this man's name had been George Boner, well, he might have felt a little bit better about himself and we wouldn't have had any trouble over there in the first place. This whole country has a manhood problem. Big manhood problem in the USA. You can tell from the language we use. Language always gives you away. What did we do wrong in Vietnam? We pulled out. Huh? Not a very manly thing to do, is it? When you're people, you gotta stay in there and them good. Them all the way. Until the end. Until death. Until death. Until death. Stay in there and keep them until they're all dead. We left a few women and children alive in Vietnam, and we haven't felt good about ourselves since. That's why in the Persian Gulf, George Bush had to say, "This will not be another Vietnam." He actually used these words. He said, "This time we're going all the way." Imagine an American president using the sexual slang of a 13-year-old to describe his foreign policy. If you want to know what happened in the Persian Gulf, just remember the names of the two men who were running that war. Dick Cheney and Colin Powell. Somebody got f***ed in the
Speaking of war in the Middle East, let's end with a great rant by Member of Parliament George Galloway in 2006, denouncing the invasion of Iraq.
How could you defend it? There were no weapons of mass destruction. There was no link to 9/11. There was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq, but there is now thousands and thousands of Al-Qaeda in Iraq now. There was no Islamist fundamentalist fanaticism in Iraq, but there is now. They armed Saddam Hussein and gave him money to fight Iran for 8 years, killing 1 million people because of their fear of the Islamic Revolution and Khomeini. Iran has now been handed Iraq lock, stock and barrel by these foreign policy geniuses, Bush, Blair, Rumsfeld, Powell and the rest. Idiots, yes. They have not just broken Iraq into 100 pieces, shattered the hearts of the Iraqis, sent millions of them spinning overseas. Anyone with legs to carry them, with a skill to sell, is leaving the country in their millions. They have sent a pulse of hatred across the world, the reverberations of which will blight the lives of the youngest person in this room. A generation and more will have their lives affected, disfigured, overshadowed by the scale of this disastrous crime, this cataclysmic blunder. And Iraq, poor Iraq, Iraq, which 1,000 years ago, when my ancestors were still painting their faces blue and living in the forest, Iraq had the greatest library the world had ever seen. Iraq, with all its weight, all its importance to Islam, to the Arabs, to civilization, the country where the number zero was conceptualized, where algebra was invented, where the alphabet was first written down, where paper was first used as a medium of communication, where laws were first codified, where agriculture was first planted. Such an Iraq is now in the hands of the imbecile of Crawford, Texas, George W. Bush. What a fate for such a nation. These occupations are deepening the swamp of hatred every day, watering it with new blood. Hundreds and hundreds of corpses floating up the Tigris, up the Euphrates, mounting in the morgues. Women, I had some fool say on the television here in Canada that Iraq was invaded to liberate women. Iraqi women were the freest women in the whole of the Arab world, but now they can't stand outside their door for fear of being kidnapped and raped and murdered and taken hostage. Girls can't go to school or university. Such is the total collapse of Iraq, broken into 100 pieces. So we must withdraw from these occupations. I'm sometimes told by journalists, well, if we withdraw, there'll be chaos. To which I answer, you've obviously not got a television set. The only thing the Iraqis need from us is the sight of the back of our heads getting on aeroplanes and leaving that country and leaving it to them.
We heard 6 rants from 4 ranters spanning a 33-year period. Patty Chayefsky from the Movie Network, 1976, Tana Brewster from 2009, George Carlin from 1992, and last, George Galloway, 2006. Carlin mentioned that the U.S. hasn't bombed any white people since 1945. A few years after that routine was recorded, we made up for that oversight, bombing whites aplenty in Bosnia and Serbia. For more information, check our webpage, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. New World Notes comes to you from Darkest New England, from WWUH-FM, a community radio station broadcasting from the University of Hartford. I'll get to my non-carborundum, and may God, if he or she exists, forgive us our manifold sins and wickedness. Ciao!